Got 25 to 75 people in your company? Check out knowyourcompany.com, software that helps companies like Airbnb know their company better.
It is the Chicago Verse podcast on the Dynasty Podcast Network, featuring interviews with Chicago's premier artists and industry and creatives and culture leaders. Hosted by Haima Black. Welcome to Chicago.
So, Sahar Habibi, here, like during one of your visits to Chicago, thank you so much for coming up. I love
Thanks
it.
Thanks for having me.
So we got to start with this, that you were one of my students at Columbia. Maybe 2 years ago or so?
Yep.
Yeah.
I think exactly 2 years ago.
Yeah, because it was a spring semester, I think. Mm-hmm. And I always have a really, like, I have a fondness for when I get to have a student come up. Not that you're a student, but somebody who I had as a student in my class.
Right.
Who has now gone on to actually activate their professional journey, mm-hmm. and I get to sit down with them as a peer and be like, tell me about this. So that's really exciting, and I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm here as well.
Yeah, so let's talk about the cool work you're doing. We're going to talk about the fact that you've been able to involve yourself with selection, which is mm-hmm. a huge deal, but you know, we always start at the beginning. Like, how did you discover that you were going to be an artist, that you wanted to work in music or any of these kind of things? Where did that start for you?
Well, I've always been like really obsessed with music, like growing up. But it didn't like spark the idea that I wanted to like work within music until probably like eighth grade. And I was going to like so many concerts, so many shows, and just like if I had an opportunity to talk to someone, whether it was like an agent or manager, I'd be like, how can I do this? Like, I don't know what I want to do yet, but I just want to be in music, like around the scene and stuff.
You just knew you wanted to be in
yeah.
it. Well, you know what? That I'm not surprised to hear that, because even in my class, I remember you hustling to give people flyers, promoting
shows.
Oh,
yeah, that's so right.
But it's like, that's right. The kind of thing, especially at Columbia, that you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
You know, you're supposed to be, like, hustling while you're in school, building your network from your peers. Like, let's talk about Columbia for a second.
Okay.
And, like, how was that experience for you? And you don't have to answer any certain way, because I teach there, but, like,
okay.
But how was a... You know, did Columbia impact your journey, or like, how was that?
Yeah, well, I was a transfer, so I only went to Columbia for 2 years.
Okay.
So it was, that was like my big step to like actually get into music, because I'm originally from Indiana. And when I was going to school earlier, I wasn't like studying music specifically.
Right.
So that was like my big major step, was moving to Chicago to like get internships, or just like dabble my way into the music industry and study music business at Columbia. And then it's actually like where I took my DJ class and how I learned how to DJ.
Was that with Zeebo?
He was my second semester.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Zeebo told me like everything. He was the best DJ professor ever. So
and only at Columbia do you have a DJ professor.
I know, right? Only at Columbia can you have a DJ class, I feel like.
Yeah.
And like still like learn the business way and anything else you want to learn. So that was super cool.
So you get to Chicago, mm-hmm. and, like, you just hit the ground running, it sounds like.
Pretty much, yeah. I was going to shows by myself and just, like, meeting people, because I didn't know anyone. So I was like, all right, these are, like, the shows that I wanted to come and see, and it's happening, and I don't know anyone, so I'm just going to go enjoy it.
But I love that. I love that initiative. Like, was it I'm a grown man, and there's days where I do not want to go to things by myself. So I'm like,
oh, absolutely.
I'm like, no one's going to talk to me. Like... You know, just like a fucking baby. But it's like, was it ever daunting to like go and just be in a city where you don't know anybody and take all that initiative and just literally like build this thing from scratch?
Yeah, pretty much. Like sometimes I would try to like drag on my roommate that I like just met, and like she doesn't know like who these artists are, but I do. And I'm like, I promise it's gonna be good. Just come. And sometimes it was a win, sometimes it was a fail. But regardless, I was like, I have to go and do what I got to do to get to where I want to get and see. So
no, and it happened. So you mm-hmm. graduated when?
Last May.
Okay, so May 16th.
Yep.
You're involved with selection. I'm gonna let you describe your role, but how did that start? Because selection is a huge deal.
Yeah.
Obviously, like people know that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're an enormous collective in terms of like their impact and
right.
their presence and their influence. So I can't imagine that it's an easy thing to connect with them. So how did you make that happen?
It's funny because going back to me going to things by myself again, I was like when selection artists would come to Chicago, I went to some shows by myself. I didn't really get to connect with them, but it was that semester South by from Columbia.
Okay.
and I was going to a showcase by myself, walking the streets of SoFi, and I ran into Andre Power, who is a co-founder slash DJ of Selection. And I like looked up and I'm like, oh, you're Andre Power. I'm like, what's up? Love y'all. Mess with the movement. And it was a boiler room, and I've never been to a boiler room, but so I was like super excited to experience that. And Kate Trinata was playing, and I know his manager, so he put me on the list. And Andre was having trouble getting in, and I was like, yo, I'll plus one, you know.
So you were the plug for Selection, man.
I was like, you can just roll with me, just figure out how the rest of the crew gets in. And
that's
I just
incredible.
Met a lot of them there and went to the Selection showcase at South by myself and connected more with them then. And when they came to Chicago, like the plant was like already, or the seed was already planted. There we go.
Next time I feel like too shook to go out by myself, I'm going to listen to this interview and be like, hey, get over it.
Get over it.
But
you never know who you'll run into, for real.
Well, and it's like, what I think is so great about your story is that you had all your preparation and like in place.
Mm-hmm.
Like you did all your groundwork, you did all your research, you knew who everyone was, you were hungry, you were ambitious. And this is literally the elevator pitch scenario that they talk about at Columbia. And it's like the second you ran into the person who could, you know, that you wanted to connect with, you were ready.
Yeah.
Like you were like, okay, I know who you are. I know what I need to say. And here's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
You weren't shook.
No, I was excited.
So, okay. So talk about what you do with Selection now that you've been able to connect with them.
Yeah. So for the first year I was with them, I was Joe Kay's radio assistant.
Mm-hmm.
So just this past June was the 1 year anniversary of when Beats One and Apple Music launched. And at that point is when Joe reached out to me because he knew that I wanted to work with them. And he was like trying to catch up, see what I'm up to, and was like, Selection got invited to be on Beats One Apple Music,
which
and we're gonna need
huge.
Some help. So I was like, say no more, fam. I'm there. What do you need me to
Let's
do?
Build.
Let's build. And so for the first year, I was his radio assistant, just handling all the back end business between Selection and Beats One. And then he hired me on once I graduated as his like executive personal assistant. So I've been doing that and just handling stuff with like Selection, whatever needs to be like handled and helped with. I'm there basically.
So
it's dabbling into a lot of different things.
But that's amazing. That's an incredible story. And it's kind of a one in a million story, you know, but what have you learned from this really incredible opportunity that like is rarefied air?
Yeah.
Not many people get to work with Selection. I would imagine fewer, especially right out of college, fewer people get to work with Selection at Apple Music, Beats One. So what's that been like and what have you learned from that?
It's been a crazy experience. I know like you can like learn so much in school or people tell you this and that, but I don't think like you really get a learning experience unless you're like actually in it.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, you see like the background of like everything. Me being like Joe's assistant specifically, like everything that he's dealing with, like I'm overseeing. So like his offers, advancements, like even learning about like another country, like,
oh yeah.
Like, I mean, everything that goes into it and the business side of it, like we have only 5 people on management. And so we're like all like very close. Like it's almost like Selection is like our group project and we're all like working towards it, even though we have specific like goals or like areas that we handle. But like we're always all talking to each other. Like we all have like a really great close relationship. And so it's like almost learning like every side of like what everyone is handling.
But that's incredible.
Yeah.
That's incredible experience. And it's probably not like a group project in the sense that everybody's actually doing what they need to do.
Right. It's not like someone's like actually being lazy. We're actually like putting in work to make the group project happen.
Instead of one person being like, I guess I'll do all those.
It.
Yeah.
It's all me.
That's incredible though. Like that's such an invaluable experience. So you're getting this experience at, like right out of college, you're working with Selection. Like what's your kind of goal with that? Because I know that you DJ, and we should have mentioned that earlier, but like, are you looking to become a Selection DJ or like, or I guess kind of what's the best case or I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, I feel like I get that question a lot. Like what is a goal? But I know everyone has like certain goals. Of course, being a Selection DJ, like would be one of them, but like goals change as you go, and I just like to kind of go with the flow and see like where best fits me or what do I want to do next. Like I've always had ideas of like starting events personally, like somewhere in Chicago.
And that's a natural for you?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, and you, so let's talk about the DJing thing. Like, how long have you been DJing?
I started learning about 2 years ago.
Really?
So around 2 years I've been DJing for.
But I feel like your DJ work has like, it's picked up. Like, yeah. And people really recognize it. And I would not have guessed that it's only been 2 years. Like, you just played the Metro last night, correct?
Yeah, for the Dream.
And that's a huge thing.
Yeah,
I was Metro very in and excited. Of itself is like kind of a badge of honor.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Did you have a lot of like hometown friends there?
I had one who came in to visit, but. Yeah, because I'm originally from Indiana, so
I guess I shouldn't say hometown. Maybe like some like Columbia.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Actually, my friend Justin Mackey, he went to Columbia. Do you know? I don't know if you know him, but
I feel like I've heard that name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, a lot of people came out last night, and it was a good turnout. I've never played at the Metro, so I was excited to have that experience.
Yeah, that's wild. Where else have you played as a DJ?
Chicago specifically. I played
or anywhere.
Oh God. Well. Chicago, I played like Chop Shop, Double Door, Concord, East Room.
East Room. Well, East Room's like...
I'm just kidding. I just had to throw that in there, represent East Room.
You know what I love is like, and you know, I'm an old.
Yeah.
So like, but every student I like hear them talking in school or like see them on social media or whatever, Columbia, like East Room is this generation, your generation's like... spot.
No, yeah, pub. Everyone like, loves East Room.
It used to be Wicker Park, and there used to be nightclubs in Wicker Park that people would go to, and for your generation, not so much, but East Room is like ground zero for that.
Yeah.
So I just think that's wild. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Every once in a while, a friend of mine will like drag me to East Room, and like, oh, like I know this DJ that's playing. I'm like, okay. And then I'm there, and I'm like, look, I'm just too old to be here. Everybody who's here is
no,
in my classes.
Not. Everyone's okay, that could be true.
So you're DJing, you're working with Selection, and you're spending your, like, you're dividing your time between Chicago and L.A.?
Yeah, I'm in Chicago. I'm Chicago-based, but every now and then I like to make my way to L.A. because they're L.A.-based.
Sure.
So it's, like, super productive and fun, a nice little getaway, come back, get some work done, right? So.
And so, I mean, I know Kevin and I were just kind of, like, dogging the coast a minute ago, but...
Hey, there's nothing against me, so...
But you're young, and you're getting great experience out there, which I think is invaluable. So, like, what have been some of the benefits of being... kind of like based in two cities, Chicago and LA. Like, how does that help you?
It's a nice equal balance, I think.
Yeah.
You know, like I go there, it's like they're on like a fast paced like movement. Like you feel obligated to like either go out to so many things or see so many people because you're not there. And then you go back home and then like you just have like your daily schedule. You're like back on focus. Like, okay, what are my goals? What are my plans? How do I execute this? Let's work.
Right.
Let's chill. Like, so it's, I think it's a nice balance. And for the weather too, like Chicago weather's like, it's nice to get a little escape from there.
Yeah. But although it was 70 degrees here the other day.
I know. I made it just in time. It's funny because every time I go to LA, it rains. I don't know why, but every single time I go to LA, it rains.
Well, that's good though. It needs that.
Yeah. That's what they say. But I'm like, but I don't need that. That's great for you guys, but I'm good.
Do you see yourself being based out of LA or Chicago, or are you just kind of like taking the future as it comes?
Yeah. I'm always like, oh, I want to move to LA. And then I'm like, no, but I love Chicago. So I'm just like being bi-coastal for now and just having fun with it and going with the flow. We'll see.
But I think that's great. I love that you're building in two markets. I think that's really, especially at a younger age, like being just out of college, like that's really invaluable because you have like two communities that you can like connect with and build opportunities with.
Absolutely.
For anybody who's watching, listening later on, like, especially, like, on the younger end or maybe who's still in college, like, and they're looking at you as somebody, and I don't mean, I hope when I say, like, younger, I don't sound derivative.
No,
like,
yeah, you're good.
Or derogatory. Like, I don't mean it as any kind of slight. I mean it as, like, you got out of college and you hit the ground running.
Right.
So for anybody who's on that younger end, like, college age, and they're looking at you and thinking, like, oh, my God, I want to get to that level. I want to hustle like that. What advice would you give?
I would just say, like, meet as many people as you can, like, stay connected, like, even though someone might be doing something at the time, everyone grows into something, like, super amazing, whatever subject it is, you never know who might have the plug to something, but, yeah, I think connections are very key, and just, I would say don't compare yourself to others.
That's so key. I tell my students that all the time. I think it's so easy to go on Instagram see like, oh God, that person's doing so much better. And this is what I tell them. I go, nobody Instagrams themselves cleaning their cat litter. Like they're only like balling at the Bellagio in Vegas. You know, not like picking up my luggage after a layover.
Yeah, like that's one thing I learned and had to like keep telling myself and really like push that like in my head is don't compare yourself to others because no one's paths are the same.
Yeah, absolutely.
And no one like grew up the same. No one did this or that the same. So like just move at your own pace and like it'll come as you go. And
I think that's really exciting and inspiring. I want to plant a seed of an idea, and maybe you've thought about this, but I'm just going to throw this out there.
Yeah.
I think because you're gaining so much great experience so early on, and you're going to continue to obviously develop and gain, I think that you should look at, not, you know, full-time, because you're probably going to be, like, too busy doing incredible things to do full-time, but, like, look at teaching at some point down the line.
Yeah, I've actually like always wanted to be a teacher.
I think you would be an incredible teacher, and I think you've got great experience that you can draw from and a great relatability, and I think that, like, that was something I always kind of had in the back of my head, like, hey, when I hit, like, 30 or so, like, and there's not an age, but, like, think about that, like, down the line. I think that you have so much you could offer a younger generation in terms of, like, just teaching them hustle.
Yeah.
You know?
Thanks.
No, absolutely.
I appreciate it. That's great.
Well, I mean, it's you know, like, anyone who's just heard the story you told, it's, like, it's clear that you have that hustle.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm so glad we got to do this.
Same.
And I say this to everybody, and I mean it. It's like, the mic is on. Let's keep this conversation going as you have new projects. And especially any of my former students, man. It's like, it's all love. It's always open for you guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Sahar, Habibi, people can follow you on Twitter. What's the handle?
It's Sass, S-A-S, Habibi.
Okay.
So it's funny because my nickname back in high school was Sassy.
Nice.
So when I made it back in high school, I was just like, Sass Habibi. But people call me Sasha. I'm like, I'll accept whatever.
Yeah.
At this point.
It's easy to remember.
Yeah.
Follow you there. Find out about your DJ sets. Find out about everything you're doing. And I love it, man. This is exciting.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming up.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, I love this cheering.
You've been listening to a production of Dynasty Podcast. Find more Dynasty Podcasts at dynastypodcast.com. For the Dynamic Dynasty, Dynasty Descend.